Can I say a Skater Boy fan cast? I'm Sabra Kojas.
And as always, I'm May from the podcast.
I thought you were just going to say I'm May that time, and we're just going to leave it there.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly could. Maybe next time.
It's always
really mixing it up.
It's always a journey on What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy fan cast.
A journey, an uphill journey, and then a downhill journey, and then an uphill journey, and then a downhill journey.
And that brings us to today's episode, which you can see in the title is called What More Can I Say, the Story of Sisyphus.
Sometimes, gang, we think of a funny title.
And then we do it. Because we've also thought of funny titles and not done. We've never done Skater Boy from a Man's Perspective, even though we've mentioned it on this podcast a million times.
It's true, but the thing that keeps us from just doing that is that neither of us is a man, and like it's really hard to make episodes with guests work.
Yeah.
You know, like we could finesse that if we wanted to, but I think ultimately we don't actually want to. And
yeah, that's the thing, because we had thought, we've already discussed this, we could just interview men, or we could look at like, we could make Reddit posts and ask people to comment, or like things like that, where we could get male opinions without having a male on the podcast, and we could just read back or like tell the audience what we've heard from men, but we just don't feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it kind of goes against the ethos of this podcast to like care about the opinions of men. You know what I mean? Like, it does seem not like something we vibe with.
Is that what's going to get us canceled? Remember that time there was a Reddit comment that someone said, we like, wow, so you just don't want men, you just hate men, or you don't want men to listen to this podcast? Like, fine.
Right.
And we re-listened to the episode that that was commented under. We never say that. Like, not even close. Not even like, yeah. Oh, I can kind of see how you got from A to B to C. Like, no mention of men in that podcast.
I think maybe that's what it is. No mention of men.
Yeah, maybe that's what he was...
Sorry, the podcast passes the Bechdel test. Good grief.
Okay, so I want to start out with just... I want to quickly, like, read from Wikipedia who Sisyphus is. Like, we know, and I assume the podcast listeners know, but just to, like, kind of take up some time here.
Yeah.
So Wikipedia says, in Greek mythology, Sisyphus was the founder and the king of Etheria. He was a devious tyrant who killed visitors to show off his power. This violation of the sacred hospitality tradition greatly angered the gods. They punished him for his trickery of others, including his cheating death twice. The gods forced him to roll an immense boulder up a hill, only for it to roll back down every time it neared the top, repeating this action for eternity. Through the classical influence on modern culture, tasks that are both laborious and futile are therefore described as Sisyphean.
What did we do? You know what I mean? Like, he was a tyrant. What on earth did we do to be cursed with this podcast?
So then I'm going to say what prompted this podcast. So I, as we all know, I love honesty and I love transparency, especially on this podcast. And so I want to be honest and transparent with our listeners. You may have noticed, if you listen on Apple Podcasts and you are somebody who scrolls to the bottom of Apple Podcasts when you click on a podcast page, that we have a new review. So we had a review where someone just said, literally, what more can I say? And we love you, whoever you are. We don't know who that is, but we love you so much. And then there's a new one. And the thing about this new comment is that I learned that you could pay somebody on Fiverr, like $7, to review your podcast. And I feel a little bit cheated here because I do think it said, I'd have to look back at the Fiverr listing, but I do feel like he said he would like listen to your podcast and review it. I don't think he listened to the podcast.
Yeah, I don't get that impression either.
I think he just, because he also said that like I could tell him what to say in the review, or he could just write something. And I was like, you should write something. So I feel like there might, this exact text may appear on other podcasts. Who knows? But now we're going to read off what that text is. It says, best podcast ever. This is seriously the best podcast on earth. As hard as I try, I can never find another podcast that I enjoy as much as this one. Which is too much. That was too much. You did too much, sir. Like, that's not believable anymore. We know that that's not true.
But I do think, in a sense, there's, like, a layer of believability to it because of what we're about to talk about in this episode, which is like this podcast is profoundly cursed and no one can get away from it. Like once you're looped in,
it's a cult.
And I'm not saying like, wow, it's just so addicting because the two of us are so like, we're such great hosts and the podcast is so good. No, no, no. This is not a good thing. It's a cursed podcast. This is a blasted land.
It's a cult where like you can get in, but you can't get back out.
Right. But there's also no cult leaders. Like we're not leaving it either. I think it's just sort of like an Avril related cult.
Avril's the cult. Avril's yeah. The cult leader.
But she has no idea. Like, are there any other examples of cults where the leader does not know that they're leading a cult and they don't know that it exists straight up?
I mean, genuinely, not that they don't know it exists. I genuinely wonder about people like Keith Raniere, who's the cult leader of Nixxiom. Mm-hmm. I genuinely wonder if he like knows that it's a cult or if he,
I mean, he must know it's a cult at this point because he's in federal prison. So
he is. Or like the Twin Flames people. Did you see this mm-hmm. Netflix doc or listen to podcasts about it? For the listeners, the Twin Flames cult is essentially like these people that, this couple that sold courses on how you could find your twin flame. But then they would like basically force you to be with somebody that maybe you didn't want to be with or who did not want to be with you and like maybe had a restraining order against you. Mm-hmm. And then eventually
they
were
like... It's just like Josh and Oprah from Drake and Josh.
Yes, very much like Josh and Oprah from Drake and Josh. Although, he hit her with a car, but that was an accident, right?
Yeah, but she does take out a restraining order.
Yes.
And then he's excited because he gets her signature.
That's really good.
And weirdly, I don't think this is the first time I've referenced this on the podcast. See, I'm rolling a boulder up a hill, and I'm finding myself at the bottom of the hill.
In 72 episodes, honestly, it would shock me if this was the first time you've referenced Drake and Josh and Oprah.
Yeah. I mean, I love that bit so much. Like, there's one opening to an episode where he's got a cardboard cut out of Oprah, and he's, like, pretending to be interviewed by her as though he, like, led some kind of a space mission.
Yeah.
It's the like, oh, Oprah, oh, Commander Nichols. Yes. And then Drake walks in and he's like kissing the cardboard cutout. That's really good.
It's unfortunate that Dan Schneider was a terrible person because his art is so funny. iCarly, so good. What I Like About You with Amanda Bynes, genuinely funny. I rewatched it recently and I was like laughing a lot. But he sucks as a person, and then that just makes it unfortunate. So.
Yeah, everything that he made has, like, a giant asterisk next to it, because he's a creep.
Yeah.
And the creepiness comes out in the material a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is because sometimes people are like, well, can you separate the art from the artist? And some people do say yes, and, like, but then I've also heard, and I think this is probably more correct, is, like, yes, if their bad deeds didn't impact the art at all. But in a lot of cases, people were making art about the terrible things they were doing. Like in an episode of the show Better Things that Louis C.K. wrote for, where he writes an episode where a like teenage boy is getting a ride home from a like 40-something-year-old woman, and like she's just giving him a ride home, and then the boy like whips his dick out and starts masturbating, and he's like, I just can't help it. Like I don't know, I just can't help it. And then a couple months later, we find out that Louis C.K. was doing that to women.
Exactly that. Yeah. Ugh.
So it was like, you thought this was funny and you were like ruining people's lives.
Yeah. He's like, look at this quirky thing I do.
Yeah. So in that sense, no, I can't separate the art from the artist.
Yeah. I think Drake and Josh is a little bit less. I mean, I haven't done
it. Oh, I mean, nothing's to that extent.
No. What I mean is, not than that. I mean, then like Victorious or something like that.
Because
it simply has fewer female cast members. Mm. You know what I mean? Like Drake and Josh are the protagonists of that show, and he doesn't treat them in the same way because they're men and he's not interested in men.
Yep.
So, which is like, hey, that's sort of a bad reason for it to be not as bad. But
yes, fully understand.
There's probably fewer examples of the Schneider cut. Sorry to the other Schneider who isn't that Schneider, who has the Schneider cut, which is a Marvel thing. I stand by it.
we said what we said. Mm-hmm. We've been canceled too many times on this podcast. Just kidding. We've never been canceled because nobody's listening.
Yeah, we want to get canceled so badly. I know. It would be so, so great for us to get canceled.
It would be. So anyway, that was just to say that I wonder if cult leaders know that they lead cults, or if Avril Lavigne could be a cult leader of a cult she doesn't know exists, which is this podcast. So we just feel like we've been cursed. Okay, I'm going to take a step back. May feels like she has been cursed to do this podcast for infinity. I feel delighted that I've been cursed to do this podcast.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I just do think it's eternal, and that I think we've known that from day one. Like, I think if you look back on the original episodes of this podcast, we sound like we know that it's a cursed project.
Well, the issue is that if you look back at the first episodes of this podcast, we had already recorded those, and then we, like, redid them. We just, pretended like we had never done them before and, like, remade them.
Yeah, because we love lying around here, famously.
Well, that's the thing, we're not lying. We're telling you guys. But I guess it is lying still because we're pretending in the episodes that we're doing them for the first time.
Yes, it was an initial lie that we then brought you in on, so now it's a secret.
What's the difference between a lie and a secret?
You get people in on it. It's a secret to the people who are in on it. It's a lie to the people who don't know. Why would I choose to draw this weird line in the sand right now? I don't know. Those are the new definitions.
They don't exactly make sense when you think too hard about it, so just don't.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess the thing that we wanted to talk about today was Sisyphus and how we're cursed to do this podcast forever.
Ooh.
Any thoughts on that, May?
Yeah, I want to know how it happened. You know what I mean? Because Sisyphus was a bad dude who did bad things, and therefore he was being punished. What's the story here?
I think that I feel a lot of jealousy or envy. I'm not sure what the difference between those are. About the success that other people, especially people that I've known or met in my life, and especially people who are like my age or younger, I am jealous or envious of their success. And maybe that's because that's a sin, right? Envy is a sin, maybe.
Yeah, if you're like being shitty and sort of not, you know,
I say shitty things behind those people's backs sometimes. Nice. So I think it's that. I think because when I think back to why did we start this podcast in the first place, it was because of a tweet of somebody that we went to college with who is basically a household name now. Mm-hmm. And we have like listeners on every episode.
Wow. Inside baseball. Mm-hmm. Really putting all the cards on the table. I think we should keep that stuff a secret. I always think, leap it out.
I will bleep it. It's also not an accurate number that I just said. So I think that my envy of that person that I went to college with, I sinned and now I've been cursed to make an unsuccessful podcast for the rest of my life.
That's very good.
Thank you.
What did I do? I think perhaps my complete 180 of my life, perhaps this is a punishment for, and big air quotes here, abandoning my dreams. I want to be clear. My goals simply changed and my life is much better now. But if we were to frame this like, you know, a Disney movie or something, then I would have abandoned my dreams. And this would be me like being forced to get back into art.
I'm not abandoning your dream, Dad. My dream, Dad. I'm abandoning yours.
Yeah. Now, granted, the reality of the situation, as I said, is that I realized that my life made no sense at all and that I needed to, like, you know, make money.
So. Well, but that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Art is such a weird thing because it's like it genuinely. And if you want to answer this, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If you had a guarantee that if you had just waited like 5 years after college or something, so you graduate college before you're going to law school, if it was guaranteed that within 5 years you were going to be making six figures in something artistic, would you have waited out for that, or would you have still become a lawyer?
With the perspective I currently have, no, for a couple of reasons. Number one, part of my reason for going to law school was because I had this realization that if I was relying on art to live, then it would be impossible for me to truly care about it the way that, like, I would care about it from a place of, like, being on my back foot and, like, worried about it. Mm-hmm. Because it was, like, how I put food on the table as opposed to something that I like and care about and can, like, foster on my own. The other thing is I really appreciate the skills that I've gained and the perspective that I have now from law school. And I think that I am a way smarter, more well-rounded, more articulate person with the skills that I gained there. And I like being a lawyer. It's interesting and cool.
Do you think with the first thing that you said that that would still be true if, like, you stepped out of college and all of a sudden you were, like, a movie star and, like, or director of every Broadway show that was coming out and, like, you wouldn't have to, like, worry about it financially? Do you still think you would be like, well, I don't think it's fun anymore?
Only in a world in which I never needed to be looking for a next thing. Because I think the nature of that kind of work is that you're only not panicking for about 2 months at a time. And that's not a way to live. Like, I don't, like, wake up in the middle of the night with anxiety anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's a much better life for me. So I think even if I had projects that were making money, I would always have a sense of, like, oh no, but what about a year from now?
What if George was a millionaire in Bitcoin?
Well, then why would I work?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Then would you have pursued art?
Sure. At this point, I so deeply don't care about the stuff that I was doing in college. Like, sincerely, I so deeply don't care about that stuff that it's hard for me to get into the mindset.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, no offense, I didn't really care about the things you were making in college either. They were not really for me. Yeah. The kind of devised theater that I think a lot of our theater program kind of, like, fostered, or I don't want to say pushed people to, because I'm sure it was a choice at the time, but, like,
I don't think that anything in that environment is a choice. It's, like, deeply coercive and gross.
That's what I was kind of wondering as I was saying that out loud. I was like,
And a lot of it is, like, you don't have any funding, so what are you going to do? Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't make anything big budget. I had, like, $9 at any given time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So. I wanted you to direct High School Musical the Musical.
I'd still do it.
Should we put on a unauthorized version of High School Musical the Musical?
Yeah, we'll just do a gritty reboot. I think you can always do a gritty reboot.
I feel like this might be our calling. Remember, this is, in fact, a High School Musical podcast.
Well, it's interesting. I find, like, just doing this podcast to be, like, more fulfilling than whatever I was doing before, just partially because no one is making me do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is funny because I do say that I'm cursed into doing it. So actually some dark god is making me do it.
Satan himself.
But I felt like a lot of the stuff that I was doing in my big air quotes artistic career was, like, sort of, it was never from a place of, like, genuine excitement about the thing. It was just like, well, this is the situation I find myself in, and this is the work I kind of have to make. And, like, really graduating and having all the people who were, like, you know, a month prior being like, don't work for free, your work is valuable, expecting me to work for them for free. I was like, I'm never going to find
people from college.
Like, yeah. Like, every teacher I ever had, you know what I mean? All of those people were like, you know, when you're in playwrights, not to listen, I won't name anyone specific, but when you're in playwrights, all your teachers are like, your work is valuable. You should never work for anyone for free. The second you graduate, they're like, would you like a $90 stipend to work for me for the entire summer? Uh-oh. That will not cover the cost of commuting into the city. You know, not cool. And I realized that I was always going to be, like, under the thumb of people like that. And I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, I also think that, like, I remember having teachers at playwrights be like, this is not a lucrative field. Like, this is not a place to make money. And I was sitting there being like, are we talking about the same thing? Because, right. like, And this was a different time in the film and TV industry in which shows lasted for longer, more episodes per season. It was 22 episodes a season television, and we had residuals in a way that, like, don't really exist anymore, and that's what the whole, like, writers and actors strikes were about. But at the time, because this was, like, 10 years ago, I was like, I think that you did it wrong. Maybe doing, like, underground black box theater isn't lucrative, but you could have done something else. You could have tried. And, right. like, you failing doesn't mean that you have to put that on us.
Well, I always felt like there was a little bit of, like, you can't do it because we couldn't do it.
Yes.
And therefore, no one can do it. And it's like, yes. No, you didn't do it. That's on you. That has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. That's why I liked Stone Street a lot more, because the acting teachers weren't actors. They were not in all the cases, but two of the main acting teachers that, like, if you stay in Stone Street long enough that you, like, get to work with are acting coaches who worked with fucking, like, Oscar-nominated celebrities.
Right. Honestly, I should have gone to Stone Street. Put cards on the table. I should have gone to Stone Street. There's a weird playwrights thing where, like, certain people...
It's a cult.
...get deeply into playwrights. Yes. And
it's a cult. Like, this podcast is a cult.
Yes. I was definitely, like, way too deep in it. I could not see the forest for the trees at all.
I could, and I got the fuck out.
Well, you were also never interested in that stuff, so I think it was, like, easy to have a little more clarity. You know, like, there was, like, for example, I went to see the show Futurity, the Cesar Alvarez show, and I was like, I'm obsessed with this, it's incredible. And then he, like, did a show at Playwrights, and I was like, obviously way more interested in that than you would have been, so.
Right.
I really feel like probably nothing that I have just said should be on the podcast. I'm, like, name-dropping specific people. Granted, I said it was a good thing that he was...
Yeah, I don't think that was anything. You just said that you liked someone's show, and then he worked at Playwrights, so you wanted to stay at Playwrights for that.
Yeah.
You didn't name Which any of the good. People that, like, tried to screw you over. Also, frankly, all of the people who did try to screw you over, I don't think any of them work there anymore.
No, I don't think they do either.
So that's our discussion about the cult we were in college. I feel like, am I being offensive by calling everything a cult?
I don't care, okay. But I've never been a real cult, so.
Me neither. But I will say, when we mentioned Nixium and Keith Raniere, which was a cult of epic proportions.
Yes, that was a capital C cult. Our school was a lowercase C cult.
Well, no, that's just to say that my mom did a class at Nixium a couple of years before it became a sex cult.
Wow.
And she did one class. She thought it was helpful because the teachings of the organization that were created, not by Keith Raniere, that were created by this other woman, Nancy, those actually, like, are kind of legitimate. I don't know exactly to what extent, and I don't know what the ramifications are, but my mom did find it to be helpful, and she took a class with a friend, and he kept going and took a couple more, and so he has, like, this clarity of, like, things did get weird there. And also, like, they both met Keith Raniere, and everyone was, like, hyping him up, and was like, this man is so great, he's so amazing, blah, blah, blah. And my mom met him, and she was like, I don't see it. I don't know what y'all are obsessed with.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely people who have said that exact same thing, where they're like, this is the guy?
Yeah, literally.
Wow. Do you think Sisyphus was like that? The real historical figure Sisyphus? I always try to, like, bring us back around to the topic in the weirdest, clunkiest way possible.
Well, I think the big kind of question here was that, well, one, we just wanted to read this review, tell everyone that it's a lie, and be like, why did this man pretend to be cursed to listen to our podcast? Unless, like, the podcast is so cursed that he legitimately has to keep listening now, even though he doesn't want to, because he got his money, and now he's like, I want to be done, but I can't be.
Yes, I think that actually is what happened. In fact, I don't think it. I know it for certain. He's like, God, I want to find a podcast to listen to that isn't this one. But every time I click through to my podcatcher, everything I listened to before this was gone. I don't remember the content of those podcasts, and more episodes of this one keep showing up. How do they have so many? Apple doesn't do anything.
I love when I say that I make a podcast about Avril Lavigne and people go, that's it? And I'm like, yeah, it's just about Avril.
Yeah, you don't know how hard it is for us.
Literally. So that was our story of Sisyphus. How long do you genuinely think we can do this podcast for? Be honest.
That's such a good question. Well, it has little to do with us and more to do with, like, well, I guess it is to do with us, but it's like a burnout thing rather mm-hmm. than a, like, needing to stop for any reason.
Oh, I feel burnt out. I feel bad because I took like over a month of not releasing an episode because I hadn't edited them because I was tired. And, like, I don't know, it's not even, like, I could be, like, oh, I was so busy. Like, no, I was watching TV. But, like, I really chose in those moments to watch TV instead of editing the podcast. And so I didn't release an episode for, like, 5 or 6 weeks, I think. And the issue is that we lose listeners when that happens. Like, it takes a while. We will get a consistent number of listeners per episode when I release the episodes weekly. If I don't, if I skip a week or I skip a bunch of weeks, that's when all of a sudden our episodes get very few listens until, like, 2 months later when I've been releasing episodes consistently and then people kind of, like, find their way back and listen and kind of get back to the top. So I feel bad because I'm like, I'm tired of editing this fucking podcast. Yeah.
That is completely fair. It's an ROI thing. We need some return on investment. You people, this is my antagonistic relationship with the listeners of our podcast back again. You guys need to let Sabra know that you're listening and that you're ba-da-ba-ba-ba loving it.
And there needs to be more of you, frankly. Like,
this is not enough for me.
No, it's not. If we were consistently getting 3 to 4 times the listenership that we're presently getting, I would feel a lot more motivated.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I never look at our stats. I have no idea. Right. You could be like, by the way, we have this many listeners, and I'd be like, rad, cool. I don't know.
But the thing about this podcast also, if we're being honest, May and I are only friends because we do this podcast. Our entire friendship hinges on this podcast. So for that reason, we have to do it forever.
Right. Yeah, that's the other part of the curse.
1,000 episodes.
We would have to find stuff in common other than our traumatic college past.
Well, it's not that. It's just not kidding. That, like,
it was not traumatic. It was just largely bad.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say it has nothing to do with lack of things in common or, like, lack of vibes. It's, like, it's forced hangout time.
Right. And that's exactly correct. I mean, I guess we would need to, like, schedule stuff if it wasn't for this.
Right. But you won't is, like, the thing. Because, like, you have a baby.
Yeah, but I'm doing this podcast. No, I know.
Right. But it's like, you know, it's different when we're like doing a podcast. And so we have like a weekly time and we have a weekly topic that we're talking about versus like if I just like FaceTimed you all the time. Like I think that's a way to burn out a friendship really easily.
That's fair.
Versus hanging out in person, but you're not going to hang out with me in person because you have a baby.
Yeah, but a couple months from now, I'll be available. Right now, I can't leave my baby, and you have no interest in meeting my baby. So.
You've never even sent me a picture of your baby.
I figured you wouldn't be interested, but I totally can.
I don't think I am. I don't want it to be ugly and then have to lie to you, you know?
I have, I shouldn't have you live react to what my baby
looks like. Yeah, no, do it. Do that. Just put it up to the screen. I don't want it on my phone. Just put it up to the screen.
Here she is.
Oh, okay, that's not it. That's much better than what I thought it was gonna be, frankly.
Yeah, she's a cute baby.
Who is the baby that I saw pictures of recently where I was like, I hate that baby?
Sometimes you see a busted one, and it's like, it has nothing to do with what they'll look like when they're an adult. You can be an ugly baby and really turn things around, but...
Yeah, I think it's that this baby's eyes were too big, and so I'm sure, like, other people would be like, wow, that's such a cute baby because the eyes are so big, and to me it was really off-putting. But I don't remember whose baby it was, so.
You're like, I know you're trying to trick me.
So, yeah, so we have to keep doing this podcast forever because it's a forced hangout time. Because the other thing, okay, you're claiming that, like, in a couple months when you're not on maternity leave anymore and you have to come into the office and your office is close to my apartment, that you will then hang out with me. But you won't, because you'll get off work and you'll be like, well, I should go home and hang out with my baby or my husband.
I don't have to go back into the office, and I really don't plan to anytime soon, so.
You don't have to because they just said you don't, or because nobody, like, they stopped being
because
in office?
Because they said I don't.
because of the baby or?
Yeah. Like, we had another person a while back who had a baby and just never came back into the office again, which is not what I plan to do, but it does set something of a precedent.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I'm talking about. You don't want to be my friend anymore because you have a baby to hang out with instead. Yeah. It's like my theory about friendship spots where I'm like, I can only have so many friends. And then when somebody moves away, then a friendship spot opens up. Even like my friend Brittany is still in my life, but like she is in Portland. So we do not talk the same way or as often or like hang out like we did when she lived here. So I was like, that's an open friendship spot. And then I filled that spot. And then I had another friend move away. And so, but then I left that spot open because I was like, well, I would like to date somebody. So I'm like leaving that spot open for a relationship. But like after that, like all the spots are closed. There are no more spots. And so I feel like maybe you secretly, without realizing it, also have a set number of friendship spots. And when you had the baby had to take one of the spots.
It's occupying a friendship spot.
Right. And so you had to like, you had to boot a friend. To make space for the baby.
What's funny is I'm in touch with more of my friends now because I know this is a foreign concept to this friendship, but a lot of people are like quite interested in babies. So people have come back into my life because of the baby.
Is it also a little bit that you feel like now you have something to talk about in your life, whereas before for a long time you were just like, nothing going on with me, and then we would just talk about me, and maybe that doesn't work for other friendships?
I mean, other people are also interested in like, well, so other people I have like a different shared history with, right? Like my high school friends, I talk about totally different things than I talk about with you. Largely because mostly I talk about your life with you.
Well, yeah, because I want to talk about my life. And then one time I felt bad about how often I talk about myself. And then you were like, no, I don't want to talk about myself because there's nothing to talk about. So we'll just talk about you, and that works. So I'm just doing what you said was good.
No, I'm fine with it. I also am like, other people are more interested in like the stuff I'm doing in my day-to-day life, which is largely like, now it's baby stuff, but before it was like, you know, law stuff. You're sometimes interested in that, but I would say usually not.
Well, because you can't tell me any details. And so then I was like, well, I don't fucking care. Right, I want to know if you're representing Ed Sheeran. Otherwise, like, what good is this to me?
I think the bottom line is you want the tea in a way that other people don't. And so from your perspective, there's nothing happening in my life. But some people are like, yeah, I want to hear.
No, it's because you tell me there's not. I ask you and you say there's nothing. That's on you.
There's nothing salacious.
Well, yeah, but, like, if you wanted to talk about something boring, you have that right. You choose not to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, usually.
That's not on me. Stop pretending like I'm a bad friend here.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying what our friendship is like. It doesn't bother me. Otherwise, I would simply not be friends with you.
Do we think that Avril is cursed like Sisyphus to think that love sucks?
Yes, definitely. I think that she's never going to actually like be married for more than a certain amount of time, but she's going to maybe keep getting married. That's kind of fun. That's her Sisyphean task, is to get married a lot. Other people are helping her out with that by asking her to marry them constantly.
Yeah.
So that's helpful at least.
I think it'll be funny when this comes out because it'll sound like we cut something out in between the last thing that we were just talking about and this topic. But in reality, I just went straight into it and there was no pause.
It was whiplash. And I love that. Do you think that you have a friendship spot open for Avril Lavigne if she wanted it?
I don't think I would like spending time with Avril.
Yeah.
Probably.
If she's anything like she is in the fan fictions.
Yeah.
A kidnapper, like that one.
Yeah, oh my god. But maybe I would because she would just have so many, like, she's, like, on all these dates all the time, probably. I don't know, she just went from, like, Monson to Tyga so quickly. And I think I would find that to be fun. I think if, it would depend on to what extent. Like, is Avril moving to New York City and she's, like, gonna want to hang out at least once a month? Because then, like, I would have to boot somebody. But if she's, like, in LA and we're hanging out, like, 3 times a year max, no, I think I can make time for that.
Yeah. I would just love to know if she's fun. I would really be interested to know if she's fun.
I feel like she has to be fun because I don't understand why these men would what they like about her besides her appearance, her wealth, and then if she's fun, you know?
I think you really only need two of those.
Her appearance and wealth.
Yeah. But or her appearance and that she's fun, or her wealth and that she's fun, or, you know, any two are fine, but...
Right, well, I know, I'm saying we know her appearance is attractive and we know she has wealth, but I feel like something that would be attractive about her is that she's fun, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think she's, well, but it's interesting because she's fun in a pretty specific way. We've seen it in her TikToks and whatnot. She's got a lot of Mike's hearts.
Yeah.
And that's not my idea of fun, but it's right. Certainly a lot of people's idea of fun. So I wonder, would she be fun to us?
Which is also so confusing about Monsad, because yes. He was sober. Or is sober, I guess, not was.
Yeah.
Imperfect tense. So I guess also, though, maybe her and Monsad had, like, this podcast is so random. I guess her and Monsad maybe had, like, pop punk music in common, but I also genuinely think maybe, because Monsad has said that he had a crush on her for, like, fucking ever. And so I feel like maybe it was just kind of like if I met Zac Efron, I would date him and like want to be with him, even if actually it was not a good relationship or we didn't really have anything in common or really like each other all that much, you know?
Rare.
But it's just like because it's Zac Efron, because I have loved him for my whole life. That's not true. Since I was like 9. No, actually I was a Corbin Blue girly. So like since high school.
Right.
I would be like, well, I have to make this work. And, like, I would convince myself that I liked him the way that I've convinced myself I've liked fucking every man. Like, any man that I have liked since post-David in 2019, any man from then to now that I've convinced myself that I've liked, except for maybe, and I don't even like him yet, so not even, I'm just excluding the man that I'll talk about in 2 seconds. I didn't actually like these men. I was just, like, convinced. I just needed something.
Right. And every time you would talk about them, you would be like, he's terrible in many ways, and I don't like him at all, but I think maybe I like him.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if that was kind of what was going on with Monsad.
Totally possible.
On Avril's side, I don't really know what she saw in him either, but...
Yeah, because, yeah, I can't imagine that he was her celebrity crush, given that he
was
not a celebrity.
Yeah. So, okay, I guess, well, I've already said it. Today is Thursday. Tomorrow, I'm going on a second date.
Ooh.
This is a person that I did not meet on a dating app. Although, like, we just met at a bar and talked for, like, 2 seconds. And so, like, it does not necessarily feel... like, not in the ways that I've dated in the past where, like, there's a period of, like, kind of crushing before
you go out. Right.
So that's still, like, weird because I'm like...
It's all
like,
business.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know where to start in terms of getting to know you. Like, I barely know what information I want to know.
Are you a murderer is a big one.
But you can't ask that because they'll lie.
Well, that one dude didn't.
Which one?
You have a whole
stand-up. Oh, right. Yeah. My army dude. Yes. Yeah. But that's because he said it's not murder. It's doing what he was told.
Of course. Right. Oh, God. I forgot that. Wow.
Yep. So
that's fun. So bad.
I know. But this dude, I'll say the big thing is that he is younger than me.
Right.
Which I literally show up on this date and I was like, I don't think I've ever been on a date with someone younger than me. And he was like, well, I don't know what he said, but it was basically like, okay, whatever.
He was like, I am younger than you.
Yep.
What more can he say, I suppose?
Yeah. But also, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, really, what was I concerned about dating someone younger than me? And then on the date... he was, like, saying what he does for work, and, like, it's something where, like, it's really boring, and nobody likes doing it, but he was like, well, I just, like, was told that it would be, like, a good kind of starting point, do it for a few years, and then I can, like, do something else, and I was like, okay, like, what else? And he was like, I don't know, and I was like, because you're 24, of course.
Right.
You don't need to know, because you're 24! Like, that'd be weird. Yeah. It'd be really weird if a 30-year-old said that. But I was like, well, I can't blame you.
Yeah, really can't fault a 24-year-old for having that attitude.
Right.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So, I am concerned. I have a lot of fears that I'm concerned about. I've realized I have a new fear, which is that what if, I kind of along the vein where people claim that dating apps make it to that, like, oh, there's always something better. But then, like, I think that's kind of bullshit, honestly. Like, if you want to date someone, like, I don't think you're constantly going to be waiting for the better person on dating apps. But I am, like, feeling that if I dated, I don't know, it just feels like it's the death of, like, a future that I...
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
Could have had, which, like, could I have? Actually, probably not. But I, like, I thought I was going to date somebody who was, like, successful in entertainment. Which, like, I always said was not what I wanted. I would say that I wanted, like, a finance bro. But, like, secretly, like, we all know I asked out this comedian. Like, that's what I thought was my future. And I wanted, I think, secretly to, like, become this, like, Hollywood power couple.
Right.
And I, so that it would be the death of, like, those things. But then I was like, well, maybe you're supposed to be the one who is famous. Maybe that's, like,
yeah, that makes sense to me.
Supposed to be in someone else's coattails. You're supposed to be the person.
And I've always said that I think that there's something really great about having someone who doesn't do what you... I sent you a shocking pic of Avril, and I assume you opened it. Anyway, let me finish this thought, and then we can talk about that. I found it by mistake. And what a weird photo shoot that was. But I think it's nice to date someone who does something totally different from what you do, especially if what you do is, like, potentially becoming famous, because you're less likely to have some huge public fallout with them if they're not famous.
Yes, but I think I also, I think I wanted a little bit of the fame without, like, having to work for it. And totally. I think I wanted, I don't know, I think maybe, like, in a world where, like, I dated Zac Efron.
That would be great.
It'd be great, but then it's like, well, that would help me. You know,
right.
Like, that would...
That's why move, I say it would be great. It'd
right,
be
that
great
would
for
move my
reasons,
goals but. Forward. But then it was also just, like, I don't know, I would watch, like, videos of any comedian that is attractive. And it's just, like, I think when people are good at things, it's really hot.
Yes.
And so when people are in arts, it's really easy to see what they're good at. But, like, this dude is not in the arts. He's, like, his hobby's, like, golfing. Like, I'm not gonna think you're hot for golfing. I'm so sorry.
That is very true.
So I'm like, how do I, and not that I, like, need it, because I've dated people, David was in finance, like, that was not art at all, and I don't think I did watch him, like, necessarily be good at things, but that was just, like, a way, I think the other issue is I've developed habits around, like, picking people that I'm attracted to, because I've been single for so long, that I'm like, this is different. This is a different situation than I found myself in for the last 5 years, and I don't really know how to handle it.
That is fair. Uncharted territory.
It is. It's also, well, this is not. So my other fear about him being 24 is that when I was thinking about this so much recently after our first date, I was like, why does the 24 thing potentially bother me? And this is why. When I was 24, I could not see myself dating the person I was going to be with forever. Anybody that I dated at that time, I knew that was not forever.
Interesting.
And, like, I was just re-listening to this old Kelly Clarkson song called Can I Have a Kiss? And one of the lines is, I can't promise forever, but I'm working on it. And I used to identify so heavily with that line.
Right.
And now I feel nothing about that line, because that's not the stage of life that I'm in anymore.
Right.
And so, like, I don't know, like, obviously there, I mean, you got engaged at 24, 23?
23.
So, like, you very much were in the spot of, like, I'm dating the person I'm going to be with forever.
Yes.
At that age. So it's not that it's inherently the age thing. It was just, like, it was a me thing at that time.
Right.
But then I'm
Which
like,
totally
I don't.
Fair.
Right. And I don't know with this dude, because I haven't asked, and I don't know if I'm going to, we'll see.
It'll come up organically at some point.
Yeah. I don't know if he's in that same stage.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what the norm is at that age, whether it tends more towards where I was, which mine was largely situational. I had been dating someone for many years at that point. You know what I mean? I don't know if I didn't know George at the time, how I would have felt about starting a new relationship.
Yeah, I think it depends. I think New York City is not a place where it is common to feel right. that way at 24.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I think also because, like, yeah, you went to college here, but you don't live here. And yeah. you didn't, like, you spent summers in your hometown and, like,
yep.
you never, no offense, really, like, lived in New York City. Like, you were here 9 months.
I don't take offense to that.
Great.
That'd Some be people so would. Weird.
Some people would. And so I think, I don't know about your hometown. I don't know what's common there, but I would imagine it's probably more common to be in that place emotionally at 24 than it is in New York City.
I would say it's kind of all New York. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, the attitude is pretty similar out here. Like, I'm definitely in the minority.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the further you get, like, upstate, the more southern feeling it gets, or the more Midwest feeling mm-hmm. it gets. But here is still pretty metropolitan in that regard.
Because even when I, like, in my hometown, I would have, if I went in high school, I would have told you 24 was way too young to be married. That would have been, I mean, my parents got married at 25, but I think I still would have at 20, like, I would have said, that's probably too young. Like, and then I look at people that I went to high school with, and so many of them are married and have been married, like, since we were 24, whatever it was, somewhere around there. But I'm like, this is not what I thought our hometown was.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah.
That's definitely not how it is here.
How old was Avril when she first got married? 23?
Oh, good. I think she was quite young, yeah.
I think she was 23.
That sounds familiar.
But definitely, you look it up and let me know.
Oh, 21.
21?
That's what I thought.
No, that's not right.
No, that sounds familiar to me. Yep.
22. I'm seeing, no wait, 2006. Oh my gosh, she was 21.
We've been friends since I was 17, started dating when I was 19, and married yep. when I was 21.
Nope, she was 21, a couple months shy of 22, but still she was 21.
Yeah, she said that in their like public announcement about their divorce.
That's crazy. That's like the other thing that, like, I wouldn't want somebody who, like, was of that kind of mindset of, like, well, I have to get married now. Because I'm also, like, I'm not trying to get married right now. I'm just trying to, like, be with somebody.
Right.
With the intention of, like, this isn't there isn't an end date.
Well, luckily, I think it would be immediately apparent. It would be, like, obvious pretty quickly if you were fully diverging in that regard.
Yeah, but then, like, I don't know, I look back and it's not like I ever told people at the time that I wasn't dating to marry, because I was dating to date. I just was like, the thought of being with someone forever, I was like, that's not where I'm at right now. But I wouldn't, like, tell right. people that, you know,
just, like, wear a t-shirt that says that on your date tomorrow and be like,
great,
well, maybe he won't read it.
Do men read things? According to comedian Erica Spera, no, she has jokes about how she has herpes, and she'll put on her Hinge profile that she has herpes, and then she'll, like, match with people, and she'll be like, hey, like, did you read my profile? And the punchline is, like, and then he'll read it, and he'll come back to me and be like, so, are you, like, actually 5'11"? Which is a funny punchline.
That's quite funny.
But it is to say that men don't read.
Yeah, reading's hard. I get it.
I genuinely looked up, I'm sure I've said this on the podcast, but I genuinely looked up recently, or maybe a year ago at this point, if adult onset dyslexia was a thing, because if it was, I was like, I think I have it. It's not, so I don't know why
so
I keep thinking that words are not the words that they are, but...
Whoa, it's because yeah. you'd be on that phone. That's my response to every problem.
Must be it. But phone. I was watching this YouTube video that was like, here's, like, a weirdly predictable test for determining if you will have dyslexia. And it's like 7 questions or something. And it's just like, yes or no, and if you answer yes to, like, or if you get some of the questions wrong or whatever, a certain number, then you do have dyslexia, and it's, like, very, very accurate. Right. And I did not have dyslexia according to this test, except for the very first question, which was, like, basically asking you the difference between left and right, and I cannot do the difference between left
and right. It's hard. And you don't even need to because you don't drive.
Yeah, but you do because you have to tell, so people will be like, oh, something to your left, and I'm like, I put the hands up and I'm like, this literally looks like nothing to me. Like, it doesn't look like an L, it looks like nothing. My brain just goes blank.
Corner.
Yeah, basically.
That's so funny.
I have a theory, though, my theory, and then we'll end this podcast, because what even are we doing? But my
theory... I like
theory...
that you said we'll end this podcast, not this episode. Oh, no. The podcast is over.
No, the podcast's not over, just the episode. But I have a theory as to why I find left and right to be difficult, is because I'm right-hand dominant, but in English, we read from left to right, so left is always the start of things, and then you move to the right, but right is my dominant hand, so I feel like right should be the start of things, and then I don't know what left and right are. That I think if I lived in a country where the language went right to left, like Israel or something, I think I would be fine with left and right, frankly.
Wow.
Yep, that's my theory.
It's impossible to ever know for sure, but yep. I'm down to believe that.
So... how do you feel about being cursed to do this podcast forever, May?
Currently, I feel totally fine about it. There are worse curses that you can endure than, like, talking to your friend roughly weekly.
Yeah, really? You've said that we are cursed, and the curse is for you to hang out with me?
Well, that's the thing. If I took a strident, I can't believe we've been cursed to do this podcast, this is hell stance, that would be, like, a real indictment of our friendship, huh?
Is that a cat in the background or a baby?
Probably the baby.
Okay, well...
she's probably just waking up from her nap.
Yeah, well then on that note, this has been another episode of What More Can I Say? A Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious? Yeah, that's a human baby.
Could have been a cat. I don't know.